This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We've all said it. You look amazing. Have you lost weight? But what if that kind of compliment does more harm than good? Well, new research says it's time to rethink how we talk about bodies, because even well-intentioned comments can reinforce stigma, trigger disordered eating, and link self-worth to appearance. So why should we stop praising weight loss? And what can we say instead? Well, joining us is Senior Lecturer in Public Health, Lily O'Hara from Griffith University. Lily, welcome to Drive.
Thank you so much, Warren. Great to be here.
Why do comments about weight loss, even the positive ones, so often end up being so harmful?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, as you say, it's so common. It's almost like the standard, how are you? You know, oh, you've lost weight, even if people think that or not. So it's kind of a reflex almost these days. And it really stems from the same place that why it's harmful. It's based on this assumption that, you know, people want to be thinner, that larger bodies are bad, that therefore if your body is smaller, it must be a good thing, that it's, you know, it's a compliment. And so that's why people do it, because they do think that it is in some way, you know, buoying that person up or giving them some positive reinforcement. But as you said in the intro, it really, when you stop and think about it, and for people that have heard those comments, and sometimes then that those compliments dry up when their bodies change again, we really start to understand just how harmful that is, because we can have a look at what are the assumptions and presumptions behind that, and we overlook then what the consequences of those assumptions are for not only that person, but really, you know, anybody that hears that comment. It's not even just the person themselves that is harmed by that. It's the reinforcement of those ideas to anybody that hears that so-called compliment.
There's often a big public focus on celebrity weight loss stories. If you think of Lizzo, Rebel Wilson, Serena Williams,
yeah.
How does that kind of media attention feed the problem?
Well, you know, it's all part of the exact same issue, that there is this celebration. I mean, women particularly can't win. You know, women's bodies are plastered on front covers of magazines if they're even got the tiniest bit of, you know, so-called cellulite or whatever on their bodies. And then, you know, larger women are criticised for their bodies, and then their bodies change and they're criticised for that as well. And because we do know with intentional weight loss that most of the time it's not permanent. It's a very well-established fact now, over 100 years of research, that the vast majority of people who lose weight will regain that weight. And it's not about them going back to their so-called bad habits, in inverted commas. It's a natural physiological response to intentional weight loss, is for the body to regain that weight. So we see, you know, somewhere around 95% of people who lose weight will regain that weight. And about two-thirds of them will regain more weight than they have actually lost. So it's not a permanent state. And so whether it's a celebrity or whether it's your friend or your sister or your brother or whatever, we know that for the vast majority of people that's going to change again. So complimenting a state of body, a current state of body, really sends the message then when that body changes that, you know, that they don't necessarily deserve that kind of compliment anymore. So in other words, we're sending this very clear message that thin bodies are valued, or thinner bodies are valued, and larger bodies are not valued. Like, that's the very strong, consistent social and cultural message that we're sending with this absolutely, you know, unyielding focus on bodies and smaller bodies. And unfortunately, you know, with the rise of the GLP-1s, the medications that are basically just injectable appetite suppressants, that's how they work, for intentional weight loss, we see more and more people that are using those and are very thin. And so this emphasis on very thin bodies has really swung dangerously back again. You know, we're kind of back to the early 2000s heroin chic, you know, that kind of emphasis on very thin bodies. So it's actually becoming more of an issue now than it was, you know, even a couple of years ago.
We're chatting with Senior Lecturer in Public Health, Lily O'Hara, about why complementing weight loss can actually cause harm. Lily, I'm reminded of, you know, the early days of HIV in the late 80s. Yep. And many people were losing weight because they were unwell and there was a lack of treatments at the time. And I'm just thinking, back then, it was almost, you couldn't say to someone, oh, you've lost weight, because it would trigger a panic about, oh, my goodness, yes, I must be getting sick. So we don't know people's story, do we? And we make an assumption that they're pleased that they've lost weight, but there could be something going on behind that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got these, you know, two kind of issues going on. One that I just talked about in terms of this valuing of appearance, and particularly a thin appearance, and which, you know, really reinforces that weight stigma. But the other is exactly as you say, we've got no idea why someone has lost weight. It might be significant health issues, as you say. It might be stress. It might be abuse. It could be financial challenges. Like, we truly have no idea. And I mean, I experienced this myself a couple of years ago. I lost a lot of weight very quickly and I was petrified. I thought I had bowel cancer. I really did. Like, I lost weight so quickly and without any behavioral change at all. It just kind of fell away. And honestly, the number of times people say, oh, you've lost weight, you look great. I'm like, eventually I said to someone, I think I've got bowel cancer. And that, like, the look on their face was just, you know, unbelievable. But that's what happened. Mm. Like, you have no idea. Luckily for me, it turned out I just had a stomach infection, a Helicobacter infection, and it was very easily treatable. But, you know, I experienced that firsthand, that rapid weight loss because of illness. And but all you get is this kind of compliment, and it really, it messes with your mind, because you think, you don't know what I'm going through. You have got no idea what I'm going through. And yet all you value is the look of my body. Like, it really, it's very triggering, I have to say, in terms of, you know, thinking about, oh my God, I'm so much more valuable now because I'm thinner. Maybe, you know, I need to keep doing, you know, I want to keep this stomach infection or whatever it is that is. Like, it's just so sad. And, you know, another friend of mine tells this story about her mum, who is literally kind of fading away with cancer, like actual cancer. And her mum just keeps saying, oh, you know, I love the fact that I'm thin. And she's dying of cancer. Like, oh, just what kind of society do we live in when, you know, a thin body is valued over health? So,
and the fact that we make an assumption that we need to comment on it as well, as though it's an achievement that they've
done. That it's exactly like it's some kind of achievement, exactly. And so it creates this kind of feeling that your worth is fully linked to your appearance, and, you know, that creates a high level of distress when our appearance doesn't match up to what we, you know, this kind of ideal. And it really overlooks this idea that, what is it, not an idea, a fact, that there is a huge variety of body sizes just naturally. You know, we have enormous diversity of body sizes. Larger body people have always existed, they will always exist, and that's just completely natural. And yet this constant focus on praising and complimenting thinner bodies really is very harmful for people who not only, you know, don't have those bodies, but maybe do have those bodies due to, you know, many other factors. So,
got a message from
all around.
Robert in South Yarra says, what about Trump calling the female reporter a piggy? I mean,
what to say about Trump? I mean, the man is disgusting in so many ways. But again, you know, this is evidence of his probably internalized fat phobia as well, because, you know, he's obviously believes those things. And, you know, it's an expression meant to demean her and meant, you know, A, because probably because she's female, but, you know, commenting on her body is meant to demean her. And that's the society, unfortunately, where stigma is so rampant that using that as a derogatory term is meant to hurt. It's meant to harm. It's the exact opposite of thinking that you're complimenting someone, but it stems from the same place. It stems from this rampant anti-fatness, these weight stigmatized attitudes. And, you know, it is absolutely not surprising that he would use something like that. Because in many ways, unfortunately, anti-fat attitudes and weight stigma are, you know, seen still as acceptable. Like, we know many people will say that using other kinds of slurs or derogatory terms are not acceptable. In fact, I just heard a study this morning that looked at young people's beliefs about rude words, and 18 of the top 20 were like negative slurs, like related to forms of oppression. And yet, you know, using the word fat or calling somebody a piggy or whatever is still for many people seen as somewhat kind of acceptable, that it doesn't quite sit in the same category as slurs related to skin colour or to sexuality or those sorts of things. So it is much more acceptable, unfortunately, and therefore the harm is, you know, really significant, because we have people engaging in things like calling people names, you know, with the intent of being derogatory and harmful, because, you know, clearly there's no other explanation for using that kind of language in someone. But Lily, I mean, I love pigs. Pigs are beautiful, but absolutely. Not how it was intended.
That's exactly right. Now, Lily, going back to, you know, making the assumption that that people are pleased that they've lost weight, another message came in saying, I went to uni with a woman who had hyperthyroidism, and she didn't get treated because she was thin for the first time in her life, and she ended up with an eye condition. And she says now it's a daily reminder of how stupid she was.
Wow, that's a really sad story, but sadly it's not an isolated story. I mean, I have heard hundreds of stories of people who will, you know, will, like this person, you know, not seek medical care because, you know, she's been thin for some reason, or the opposite, you know, not seeking medical care for a condition because people are avoiding, you know, yet another episode in which they are stigmatized, yet another episode or encounter with a medical or health practitioner in which they're just lectured or, you know, oh, have you thought about losing weight? Like, as if any person with a larger body hasn't, you know, we're exposed to this level of anti-fatness, of course. So we do know that people with larger bodies, on average, see medical practitioners, health practitioners way later for the same conditions than people with smaller bodies, get different treatment when they are there, so poorer quality treatment, less likely to be believed, less likely to be physically examined, less likely to have appropriate care recommended to them immediately, and less likely to be referred on, and they're held hostage, like, lose weight first and then I'll recommend you for this. Lose weight first and then you can see a specialist about this. So we know across that healthcare spectrum that there is poorer quality of care for people with larger bodies. So yet another harm, yet another set of harms that arise from these underlying assumptions about body weight and weight loss, and, you know.
Lily,
so that's sad. I'm so sorry for your listener.
It's a sad story. But it's an important conversation. It's a good reminder that we should think before we just jump in and assume that someone's pleased that they've lost weight. Unfortunately, we've run out of time because we've got to get to news. But Lily, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Warren. You're very welcome.
Thank you. That was Lily O'Hara, Senior Lecturer in Public Health at Griffith University.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.